The Sudanese government today signed a peace agreement to end fighting with rebels in the southern region of the country. If the deal is successful, it will bring an end to a civil war that has claimed more than 2 million lives since 1983. But the deal only applies in the south, not in the western Darfur region of Sudan, where fighting and starvation have claimed tens of thousands of lives and forced millions of people from their homes. BBC reporter Ishbel Matheson joins us from Nairobi, Kenya, where the agreement was signed. Ishbel, did everything go smoothly at the formal ceremony?
It did indeed go smoothly, and there was great celebrations here in Nairobi in Nyayo Stadium in central Nairobi. The Sudanese community based in Kenya, many of whom have fled their homes because of the war, turned out in great force, and they danced and they sang and they drummed this agreement into the history books.
Is there optimism that this agreement will actually result in an end to the fighting in the south?
I think there is great optimism. It's taken the two sides over two decades to get to this point. But there's also trepidation, too. People that I spoke to, people from the south of Sudan in the stadium, were saying that they still had a deep distrust of the government in the north, the Islamic government of President Omar al-Bashir. And they wondered whether they could really trust him. But equally, they are putting their faith in their leader, rebel leader John Garang, who becomes a vice president under this deal. And I think most people recognize that this deal, negotiated painstakingly over many years, actually, is the best that's on offer. It's what's on the table. It's what the two sides have signed up to. And this, if it works, will usher in a new chapter of Sudanese history.
What were the major objectives of the rebels in the south?
Were really fighting because they felt that the northerners who ruled from Khartoum discriminated against them. It was a war about race, religion, and resources. The Africans in the south come from mainly Christian traditions, whereas in the north, the Arabs are Islamic, so two very different cultures within the borders of one country. And the Africans felt that they'd been discriminated against, that they weren't getting their proper share of power or of wealth. And that is what this peace agreement is designed to address. It sets up a power-sharing government. It shares wealth, especially the valuable oil wealth from the oil fields in the south. It shares the oil wealth 50-50, 50% to the north, 50% to the south. And crucially, the southerners also have a guarantee of, in 6 years' time, a referendum on independence. So they have the possibility in 6 years' time, if they're not happy with the deal that they have under this new agreement, they can vote for independence and for freedom.
As I mentioned, the agreement doesn't apply to the Darfur region of Western Sudan, but do you think, does it hold any promise for brokering a similar deal there?
People who've been speaking, the dignitaries who came, the U.S. Secretary of State Colin Powell was here. Now, they have been talking about the implications that this deal has for Darfur. Colin Powell was saying that even at this moment of hope, one should not forget the crisis in Darfur. Indeed, one should try to redouble efforts to find a solution there because of the terrible atrocities that are happening there. And he said, and other speakers also said, that it's provided a blueprint for what might happen in Darfur. And the rebel leader, John Garang, who now becomes the new vice president, has made it plain that he will push, use his influence, to try and negotiate a settlement in the west of the country. He made it quite clear that he didn't think military means were the solution to the war there. He said only a negotiated settlement would lead to peace in Darfur.
BBC reporter Ishbel Matheson in Nairobi, Kenya. Ishbel, thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.